You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Study Clicks podcast. And today is a very exciting episode because this is the first time that we're doing a podcast in person.
Yay. Yes, very exciting, isn't it, Ashley?
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So for anyone who's new to the podcast, I'm Erin.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Ashling.
And we're all on the social media team and we're very excited to be here today in studio.
Yeah, we're all very nervous.
Yeah.
But we've never, this is my first time ever seeing Erin in person. It's a lie, it's not true. But yeah, me and Erin are very used to doing this in our bedrooms. So yeah, this is going to be very interesting.
Hopefully we'll make
for a better podcast experience as we'll be able to pick up on cues.
Exactly. Rather than fighting with technology.
Yeah, this is it. We're just recording after the New Year's, aren't we?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So speaking of New Year's, does anybody have any New Year's resolutions that they'd like to share?
I'll share mine. Okay. So I want to run more 5Ks, be consistent, but only 5K and no longer than that.
So fair.
She ran 5K yesterday.
That's
no word of a lie.
Yeah, exactly. I actually ran 5K here.
That is 5K more than me, so.
Yes, I am thinking of Letterboxd. And this is something I was talking about last night because I watched Me Before You. Has anybody seen that?
Just been added to Netflix. I haven't.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Real tear jerker.
You recommend?
Sad films.
I would.
Okay. I need to watch. I feel like
Letterboxd is my favorite thing.
I love it. I feel like there's so many films that I just haven't seen that are like classics, and every time I tell people, they're like, "What?
Yeah,
that's crazy."
I know what you mean. This is, if anybody doesn't know what Letterboxd is, it is like where you review films after you've watched them, and then you have like friends and stuff. It's like Instagram, but for film reviewing. It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. It's kind of like Goodreads as well for books. One of my resolutions is actually to read more. So Goodreads is basically you just like log the books that you read
year.
Yeah. It's like basically like Letterboxd, but for books.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was hoping there was something like this.
Yeah,
like, this
well, there you go. But yeah, because I used to be great at reading, like back in COVID, I'd read like 30, 40 books a year. And then, the past like year or two, I just like haven't read a single book at all. So I'm trying to get back into it, but it's going well. I started one at the beginning of the month and I'm already like halfway through it, so.
What book are you reading?
It's called House of Hollow, I think.
What type of genre is it?
It's kind of like... like not fully fantasy, but kind of like there's like mysterious creatures and
mysterious creatures. Love it.
And things
like Stranger Things. Anybody watch that?
I did. I watched the finale.
Good.
Did you watch?
Did you not watch it at all?
No, I rage quit after season one.
That's like,
so fair.
That's
why?
Really early. 9 years ago.
It's not my type of thing.
That's
like,
so fair.
Yeah.
No. I just got sucked into it.
What did you think of the finale?
I don't know. I enjoyed it as well, but I found it kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I felt like. I'm actually going to spoil it, but I feel like the villain, the way
if you
it kind of ended.
Click away now.
Yeah,
or
the way it kind of ended was kind of crazy. It felt underwhelming, or as in like they went down pretty
over
easy.
It was very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I did enjoy it. No, that's not, I didn't give it as much hate as some people have been giving it
no,
online.
I think people are a bit dramatic about it, to be honest. Because like it was definitely not bad.
Yes.
But
Stranger Things is like my favorite show ever, so I was very emotional that it's over. 9 years of my life.
Oh.
Down the drain.
So sorry.
I didn't have to go through that.
No.
Yeah, no. I didn't. Thank God.
So what are we chatting about today, Erin?
Well, today we are going to be chatting about the mocks and any tips we may have because they're not too far away now, are they? They're about a bit less than a month, I'd say.
Yeah, it depends
a few
on
weeks.
The school.
Yeah, it depends on school.
When did you guys do yours? I think mine was like the last week of January.
So yours was before midterm?
Yeah.
So I think mine might have been after.
No, mine weren't after. I think mine would probably... end of Jan, beginning of Feb.
Yeah.
I might be lying. I really can't remember. It'd be way easier if they're after midterm. Actually, I think that's worse. I think they were before, but I remember friends who did it after, so they had like their midterm, they weren't able to relax and they just had
that's
to study
the thing.
For
like,
a week.
We just had a week
horrible.
Break then, which is actually really nice.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, mock talk.
Now,
has to be done.
has to be done.
Unfortunately, has to be done. Now, people get very, very scared about the mocks because. You know, it's a lot of the time, like it's the first like thing similar to state exam that you might be doing. You know, it's basically the real thing, but just before the time. So I think it's important to note that like the mocks are generally harder than the real exam. They're a lot more demanding of you than the state exams are. Like, I mean, in comparison, you have like, what, 3 weeks for the Leaving Cert anyway. Junior Cert is like over 2 weeks, whereas the mocks, it's all squished into like a week, week and a half. You know, you have no break in between study or anything. Yeah. Did you guys, with your state exams, were yours like very pushed out, or did you have like did you have gaps in between your exams, or were they all kind of one after each other?
My state exams were all pretty close together. I think I had music, which was near the end, but I wasn't like one of the horrible, not horrible, the people who was in a terrible situation politics and society. Yeah. You did politics and society?
Yeah, yeah. Horrible. Yeah. I think it's, they've made it a little bit shorter now, but when I did it, it was like the 28th. Like, it was I think now they finish a couple of days earlier. But
I think it depends, to be honest, on like what day of the week it starts, or like when it falls probably. With the calendar. But like mine, because I did it as well, and it was the last day of the exams. So I remember for mine, I had like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 subjects done. It was 4, I think. And then I had a week until Spanish, and then I had another 2 days until music, and then I had like 5 days or something until politics. So I had loads of gaps. But I actually really liked that because, well, no, I didn't study half as much as I liked to. I was like, okay, I'll get these ones out of the way. And then I like nonstop study, but that kind of didn't happen. But also it was nice to not have like exam after exam after exam, which is like how it is in the mocks.
Yeah.
So in comparison, you know, like the real thing, you're probably going to have a lot more time. So there's no need to kind of panic about that. Like you will get breaks. Also, like you haven't covered the full course content at this point.
Mm.
Like I know for the likes of maths, I did higher level maths, I don't know about you guys, but like in like January, February at this point, like we still had so much left to cover, like we just about got the curriculum finished, so obviously there's going to be questions that you can't answer, you might not be too comfortable with, and that's completely normal. Did you guys find that like there was still a lot you had to cover at the time of the maths?
Yeah, I think it depends on the subject. I think like maths was horrible. I don't know if they ever actually finished the course in maths, ever. But yeah,
always behind.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite jokes to make in my TikToks. If anybody knows, they know. But yeah, I think it depends on the subject. Maths was really bad. And then some you kind of finish relatively early. But yeah, I was not a fan of the mocks. I don't remember them at all. I kind of managed to like put them away from my mind. I don't have any particular like huge mock experiences other than they were really useful because I felt like they let me know. When I got my mock back, I was able to see exactly what I need to improve on and all that kind of stuff and be able to focus my study a little bit more. So I did find the mocks actually really useful. What about you, Aisling?
Yeah, I definitely found them helpful. Like, I think they're a really great way to be able to like measure your progress in your subjects and see which subjects you should be spending more time on, because like it's really easy to fall into the like habit of just studying the subject that is your favorite subject loads and like neglecting some of them. Doesn't so the mocks are like a great way to identify the ones that you need to focus on more. Also, I definitely think the mocks are a bit harder because if you haven't done the whole course, you have like less choice. Like I know like even economics or some of those subjects, you'll have a lot of choice within the questions. And if you haven't done the whole course in the mocks, you're like forced to do a couple of the questions, whereas the Leaving Cert can be easier because you can like pick your favorite questions based on your like best topics and things like that. But yeah, I definitely found the mocks helpful.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a real learning curve as well for like time management and stuff, because people don't really talk. Well, they do talk about that, teachers, a little bit, but like you don't have to do obviously the exam in chronological order. And it's like, what are the things that you like, what calms you down when you go into an exam? Is it doing the questions you're really strong at, or like is it the ones that like require the most writing so you get them done, then you're not as worried about them? It's like figuring out what works for you because everybody's different. So I found the mocks really useful.
Like it's just about technique really, and like this is the first time for a lot of people that they probably would have thought about how to actually go about answering the exam, because I feel like so much emphasis is put on like actually learning the things for the test, and then like you get to the paper and it's like, you know, so much of it is about how you actually answer it and like what to look for, or like the marks. Like sometimes, you know, it's better to start with questions that are higher marks, etc. So it's really just kind of getting your head around the actual layout of the papers. Because I feel like at that, you know, at that stage, like especially if you're in Leaving Cert, like it's such a hectic time, like you mightn't have really started doing exam questions or anything like that yet. So the mocks is your first real indicator of what to expect.
It's really important, I think, about your like, we talk about mindset, go in with the right mindset, because you can make the mocks as useful as you want to make them or as like much of a burden as you want. So if you go in with a mindset of, God, why do I have to do this? Or like, this is going to get in the way of my actual study for the Leaving Cert. It's just going to be a complete waste of your time. You're way better off thinking about, well, this is really useful. It's a great practice run. I can hone all the things I need for the actual Leaving Cert and view it as that. So mindset is important, everyone.
Yeah, they definitely are like a tool. Like there's no point, because ultimately what you get in your mocks doesn't matter for anything. Yeah, exactly. So all they are is really a tool for you to be able to use in whichever way you find most helpful.
Yeah, like no one is going to remember what you got in your mocks. I don't even think I can remember what I got in my mocks, to be honest.
Yeah.
And did you guys get them marked by your teachers or by someone else?
I think a couple of them were done by our teachers and a few of them were sent off.
Okay.
Yeah, same, I think.
Ours were our teachers.
Okay,
yeah. So I feel like you could get marked harder by your teacher or you could get marked easier in the other. Really. Because my teachers were like, I really want you to focus on the fact that this was awful and you can get better. But then some of them were like, I'm going to give them those little marks, they feel great, but that's not going
to
help.
I remember our music teacher wanted us to do this like different mock paper that was like different from like the kind of main mock companies. And she sent it off to this like specific place that the paper came from. And they came back with like this like whole page of like really, really detailed feedback of like theory that I'd never heard of in my life. And it was like, why didn't you like, I just didn't understand any of it. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I think I went up like 4 grades from my mock in music to the real thing. So like, yeah, it really also just does depend on like that, like who's marking them. Like there's so many different factors that can influence, you know, the difference between the mocks and the real thing.
Yeah, I definitely know because I remember my history teacher, I think, graded our mocks. And I remember like feeling as though he had specifically graded them more harsh so that we would like push ourselves to do to do better in the actual thing and not kind of slack. Because like you could, in a way, like if you get H1 something in your mock, then be like, oh, it's grand. Like I've kind of seen people do that before where
you just kind of give up then.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, I'm fine. I got a H1. And then they kind of drop the ball a bit.
Yeah, I do feel like it's a... That'd be a tough place to be in if you're like in a H1. I feel like I'd be find it so hard to stay motivated.
Definitely,
even though
some
people would be like, okay, this is great. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. But you almost want to get like, well, if you're an H1 student, you know, which some of us are, you want to get a H2 or H3 and be like, okay, I can get to the next level or whatever. But I think that is, people always talk about mocks actually being marked harder. And I do think that is the general consensus. And I do think that is accurate. So don't panic.
Yeah. The marking schemes a lot of the time are also a lot tougher, I think, for mocks, because I know we'd be looking back at them and they'd be like so specific.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
like I'm thinking of the likes of biology. I know, did you
I was
do
about to say biology? Biology? Yeah.
Like nightmare. For like in the actual leaving cert, in the exam questions, they'll accept like a much wider range of answers, and then in the mocks they'll be looking for something like really specific, and it's like, okay, like you get into the swing of it, like answering the exam questions, and that sometimes doesn't pay off in the mocks, but it will in the real thing. So like, don't get too bogged down if like you miss out. Because if you lose out on a mark because you like forgot to include one word or something, because chances are that's not going to be the case in the real exam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the mocks as well is like they're a useful tool. We keep talking about like mindset and how useful it is, but like it'll be the first time that you've basically, it'll be the only time, unless, as I've always mentioned on these podcasts before, you should get a whole past paper and do it at home, guys. Mm-hmm. There's the camera for that one. You get it and do it. Do it on the weekend. Get like 2.5 hours and do a whole exam. But if you don't do that, which I'm probably preaching that, I probably never did it once, but I just think it's a great thing to do. But like this is the perfect opportunity to literally sit in a room and do a 2.5 hour exam. So like this is the perfect prep. So you have to be ready for that. You know?
Yeah. And I think when we talk about preparation as well, something that a lot of people are often really worried about when it comes to the exams and the mocks is running out of time. I think it's so important to be aware of the fact, like, you know, this is often the first time that you will have sat papers for certain subjects in their entirety. So like you might have had a lot of practice actually doing the questions, and you know, some are more demanding than others, like the likes of English paper 2, and you have to answer like so many questions and write so many pages. Like it's only normal to run out of time. Like it happens in the real thing, but like especially at this point in time, like you're not expected to get through the entire thing. You know, it's just practice and getting used to for what is to come. Like did you guys find that you ran out of time with any of your mock exams?
Yeah, so you're kind of struggling. English is like, I feel like you never write that much until like the actual day of the English exam.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to practice for English, I feel like. And then history, I don't know if you did history.
I did history,
There's like 4 essays or whatever. I've never written so many pages so fast. And I don't do joint writing, so my hand was like dying. I was getting ink everywhere and it was just like, I've never been in so much pain.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, because I feel like even with history and things like that, or like teachers will tell you like a 45 mark question should take however many minutes, like sometimes it can sound more daunting than it is, but actually my experience was that I got in there and I actually could write it in that amount of time and it was like fine, so it kind of calms your nerves in that way a bit. And it's also a good way, because I feel like people always talk about like how many paragraphs an essay should be or how long an essay should be, like a good way of seeing whether or not you and the speed that you write at can, if it's realistic to aim for 8 paragraphs in a history essay, for example, or not. So it's just like, once again, as we said, a good tool to be able to like adjust what you're doing for the leaving cert to like set yourself up as best as you can.
Yeah. It's like the only way as well you get that reaction of you open an exam paper and you don't get what you want, like that's the only kind of scenario, apart from the Leaving Cert, that you'll probably get that experience of doing that and how your body reacts in that moment of being like, oh, flip, what I wanted is not there, or this is worded differently to what I was expecting it to do. And just seeing how do you navigate that is like a great opportunity again to figure that out about yourself.
Yeah, like it's nice to have that experience of the panic before, yeah, you know, you the real thing, and then you get to your Leaving Cert and it's something that you weren't anticipating, and then just like panicking then.
Yeah.
Because, at least you know then how you're going to react to something like that happening.
So the mocks are great, guys, is basically what you're saying.
Amazing.
Be positive about the mocks.
They're really
enjoyable.
I wouldn't
have been if I was in the Leaving Cert, I can tell you, but yes, hindsight and all that.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I guess, like what is on the mock papers, obviously there's a whole thing of like mock leaks. And like knowing what's on the mock papers, which like definitely is like a modern phenomenon, I guess.
Yeah.
It was around before COVID as well, wasn't it? It wasn't like a thing that came after COVID.
Yeah. I remember they were definitely doing them during my junior cert. So it's been, it's been a while.
Okay.
I'm old now, guys.
I don't know. I feel like I never really, I just, you hear stuff about leaks, but unless you go looking for them, you're like, I don't know. I never really would have done that, obviously. Did you guys ever encounter anything like that, or what were your experiences with leaks and stuff?
I think I got some on my For You page, just because like I would I'd kind of get stuff about like the Leaving Cert on my TikTok anyways, so like I think a few like came up, but I tried to just ignore it because
it's just a disservice.
Not
to
really worth
like,
it
it's
in
not
the long run.
No,
accurate.
Exactly.
Well, it's going to help you in the long run.
Undermines the whole point of doing the mocks.
Exactly,
like if you know what's coming up, then what is the point in using it as like a test to see whether or not you can do it in time, because you're removing all of that, like you're just launching straight into the questions that you knew were going to come up, and it's also just not a test of whether or not you know the syllabus, because you can just like learn things off. Also, there's like multiple mock paper companies and
there's
multiple options,
and even within the companies, like there's
they're on leak and you're over. So
but like as we said, the only person the mocks benefit is you. Like it's literally just practice. So if you go completely off leaks, like you're not helping yourself at all.
Yeah.
Yes. Stay away from leaks.
Yeah.
That's, don't do it, kids.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. Seems great in the moment, but you'll regret it.
The thrill of getting a leak. Oh my goodness. I'm not supposed to know this information. But yeah, it just takes the realism out of it. So it's like, what's the point? It's just not preparing. Yeah, and all the things we've talked about, like those moments of opening a paper and not knowing what's on it, then that's just gone, and you don't get to experience that until the day of the Leaving Cert. And I would prefer to have done that, experienced that at least once before the actual thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
like the leaks aren't going to be there for the Leaving Cert, so like you're on your own then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually like another film I saw recently where they just like found the test and then illegally stole it. I'm sorry. Letterboxd just went in my head. But yeah, so don't do that.
I feel like leading up to the mocks, a lot of people can kind of be unsure of what's the best way to actually prep for them and like kind of what to do with yourself, because it's such a weird time like preparing for it. I think the main, you know, obviously you want to do as much study as you can, but like you want to, first of all, take breaks, because like, as we said, you know, you're not going to have the full course content covered, and realistically, like you're only going to get so much learned. So like, you know, be realistic with yourself. But yeah, definitely take breaks. Also, like there's loads of different kind of more passive study methods that you can implement into your life too. Like whether that's like going for a walk and listening to a podcast about, you know, whatever topic you might be studying, or even like using flashcards like to test yourself. I think that can be a really efficient method of, because, you know, if you're just like writing things all the time, you're only probably retaining a certain amount of it. But if you're actually testing yourself, that's kind of what's going to help you most in the long run. So like it's about kind of being efficient with your study as well in these last few weeks leading up to it. Would you guys have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would definitely say like, because with the mocks, they're usually all close, packed close together, that you should try not like be focusing on one subject like before the mocks. Like if you have English first, don't spend the 3 days before English only studying for English. Like you should be trying to, like, which it could be easy to fall into that trap, but you should be trying to kind of spend your time evenly across your subjects, because, you know, you could say, oh, I'll do English and then I have maths tomorrow and I'll study for maths after English, but like they can be quite draining, and like chances are is that like you won't feel like studying for maths all evening after you do your English mock. So I would definitely just like try to distribute your time evenly over your subjects.
Or like another thing that I found in my school anyway was a lot of people would be like we'd have two exams in one day and people would be like, oh, I'll study in the break in between, but like you're not going to want to do that. you know, that time. You have to take a break. You have to, you're not going to take any of it in. Yeah, you're not. You want to like eat something, fuel up for the next one, you know, like studying is going to be the last thing on your mind. Or even if you like mean to do it, you're not going to feel like it. And then you'll just maybe get more stressed out about the fact that you haven't studied then. So like, yeah, definitely good idea to try and, you know, evenly distribute your study as best you can in the few days leading up to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to just like, as these guys kind of reiterating it, is like focusing on one thing at a time and like focusing on the things you do know rather than the things you don't know, because as we keep saying, the mocks is not a game of perfect and neither is the leaving cert, but it's like, yeah, what do I know? How best can I prepare myself and not overwhelm myself? Because there's a lot of subjects and there's a lot of exams in a very short space of time. So like pick one thing and study that and think about the things you do know instead of overwhelming yourself, which is really easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, like, don't push yourself like past the point that like
or like she's been there, don't do it.
Like, listen to like your body, I guess, for like lack of a better term. Like, if you come home from an exam and you feel burnt out and really tired, like maybe
take
it's
a nap.
Best yeah
sleep
take
guys
a nap.
Yeah. I love sleep.
Like,
I'm
there's
a
no
big
point
advocate of that in this podcast.
Sitting there and like trying to force yourself to study if you're so tired that you're not retaining anything. Like, it's better to go to bed and then just like maybe wake up early and do an hour before the exam, maybe if you want.
Yeah.
Only if you want, guys.
I've definitely done that at some stage. Do you study in the morning before exams?
I used to do that. Like, I'd get up at like 5, 6 a.m. and
not for the leaving cert, but for some of my law exams, like, yeah. I'd be getting up early for those.
Yeah. Were you like a study at night, like past 12?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd always get to like 1 and be like, I actually can't do it anymore.
Do it.
I think I never got past 10 o'clock in my life.
Really?
Maybe half 10 was like the latest I went.
No, I would be like going to, like, I could finish at like 1:30. I wouldn't be like all night.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you ever fall asleep in the middle of like studying?
No. No, I haven't.
No. Never be me. Finish the task.
Well, I'm not a good sleeper, so like there's no way I'm falling asleep at a desk.
Yeah, that's true. You have the exhaustion. Did you ever run into like burnout?
With the leaving cert, like, kind of no. For some reason, I think I was just like so focused on like just doing it. And I had like kind of a good routine that I didn't feel burned out, except for maybe like, I think I had like a week between whatever my exam was before politics and politics. And I think in that week, I was just like, oh my God, I actually can't.
So I feel like you're just kind of in autopilot up to that point, and then it kind of hits a point that you can stop and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So glad I was not in any of those. I was such a chill person.
But then again, like, love leaving through politics. Great subject.
It was a great subject, definitely.
Did you go too?
Yeah.
So you both passed them the last day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So fun.
So cruel of the SEC.
Well, someone has to be. Someone has to be.
True.
I wonder how they pick that. Is it like...
I'd say...
Well, because it's a new one as well.
I think it's based off just how many people do it.
Days. Yeah.
I think.
There's other ones as well, like... Jewish and stuff, right?
Like Hebrew studies or something. Like, I think applied maths is also the last day.
And some of the niche languages, I think.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, not that any language is niche.
The smaller kind of subjects, the least popular ones.
Yeah.
Not your German, your Spanish, your Portuguese. It's French.
You probably do Portuguese.
You probably can.
But it's niche.
Yes.
In a sense.
But yeah, ultimately the mocks are just a great way to kind of know how to guide your study after you get your results. Like, even if they don't go as well as you maybe would have hoped, which is completely normal because like you still have so much to cover. Like those like 4 months between the mocks and the leaving cert, you're going to do so much study and prep and, you know, you'll feel so much more comfortable going into the exam. So like, it's only natural to maybe not get the best grade. But it's a great point to kind of base, you know, to figure out where you're going to go next with your study and what you need to focus on after you get your results. So. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to bear that in mind.
I remember those questions in like the maths paper and stuff, and there's particular ones that I got wrong. I would just like repeat them. I remember I did like the same question like every single day after for like 2 weeks, and I'm like, I'm never gonna get that question wrong again. But that's a great way you can do it. I just almost do the mock again as like a thing, but not like in one night, but like slowly overnight. I find that useful, depending on the subject, obviously, because that doesn't really apply for everything.
We had to do that in maths. We did like 3 or 4 different maths mocks. And the actual ones we did, like, during our mocks, our maths teacher made us do each paper again, I think, for homework.
Yeah, some teachers will do that. Mm. So you might have to do that. You might have no choice on that matter.
Or even, like, I think if the teachers would give it to you, like, asking for the marking scheme from the mocks and like being able to like go through yourself and like sit down properly and compare what you wrote to like the marking scheme answer if you didn't get like full marks, particularly in things like definitions and like knowing what they're actually looking for. Because like sometimes you know the information, you just don't know that you're expected to write that until you do the mocks. Word it.
Or like there's like one specific thing that you're missing that's like really small, and that can be the point between you know getting the marks or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's fine margins. And the mocks can help you get those fine margins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They will. They do really make such a difference. So
I'm really enjoying this podcast, being able to just look at the camera and do a little cheeky glance. As I said before we went out, I feel like I'm in the office. Or I'm like Phil Dunphy in Modern Family, if anybody's seen that.
Well, I'm glad to hear.
Thank you.
Let's move on to some questions that were sent into our Instagram from students like yourselves listening about the mocks. So the first question, Andy and Ashling, is how to survive I'm so stressed?
Oh, love that. The question is like screaming off the page at me. Do you want to take that one?
I can sense stress from...
Yeah,
so...
Ashling was zen, so... I, feel like
I was so zen, yeah. Well, I think like, first of all, like acknowledge like you're going to be stressed. Like there's kind of no like magic remedy to like... being like super chill during the mocks. Like it's a stressful experience. Like it's intense. You're going to be stressed. I think just like kind of knowing your limits and like when you feel stressed and like burnt out, tired, don't be like pushing yourself to like, yeah, just don't be pushing yourself. Like know your limits. If you're feeling really stressed, maybe like take a minute, like go for a walk. And like also trying not to like overthink it. Like these are only a practice run. Like you're trying to use them to learn. They're not the be all and end all in any sense. So like, just kind of put them in perspective of what they actually are and like obviously try to do well, but don't push yourself like too hard.
Couldn't have said anything. I can't add anything to that. That was
wise words.
Guys, maybe I should be a guidance counselor. Like,
maybe not, but yeah, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Just stick to your 5Ks, okay?
Okay, the second question is how to study every subject in 4 weeks. Now, I'm going to tell you it's... not going to happen, unfortunately. You can study every subject, just maybe not in their entirety. You know, like, obviously, focus on doing as much as you can, but also be realistic with yourself. You know, as we've said in the podcast, like, more than likely, there's still so many things you haven't covered or things you mightn't have covered in that much detail. So, like, you know, focus on the things at this point in time that, like, maybe you're stronger at or maybe that you feel confident that you could answer, like, if you put in work. I think as well, rather than like maybe like spending loads and loads of time like studying one small segment of a subject, like just taking, like doing like flashcards, like even on like the Study Clicks website, there's the flashcards and the quizzes, well. Like do like little things like that are just kind of low effort, but also like they do really get in your head. Yeah. And like when you're testing yourself, you're actually putting your knowledge into practice, because realistically, you probably know an awful lot more than you do think. You just don't have like, you know, knowledge mightn't be at the front of your brain, but.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
Even I think, obviously, because you can't study everything. Like, I know in some subjects, there's certain topics that are like kind of guaranteed to come up, like for certain questions. I think maybe I actually didn't do the sciences, but I think for some of the sciences, like certain questions are like, it's always going to be.
Yeah. Like, I remember like the first like biology long question would nearly always be ecology.
Yeah. So, like, example. Covering your bases in terms of that, like, first. So, at least. Like, you're definitely going to be able to answer that question. And, like, if you can't do the niche question, then, like, you know that you'll just have to study that before the Leaving Cert when you have more time.
Just cover the things that are, like, most likely to kind of always be there. You know, you're kind of...
Yeah. And realize it's a good question to be asking now instead of 4 weeks before the Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
So that you have all that time. You know, mocks mean nothing.
Yeah, you
just put in good
time.
Habits now in these 4 weeks and then bang, after the mocks, you're ready for the Leaving Cert, you know?
Yes.
Boom.
Okay, the next question we have is how long should you be studying for every night for the junior cert?
This is a question that always comes up all of the time, but it's like very personal to each person. Like there's no like answer. Like it's not going to be if you study 2 hours every night for the junior cert, you're going to get what, distinctions? Is that what we're on now?
Yeah.
Like how many subjects do junior cert students do? 11?
Oh, it's quite a few.
Loads
anyway.
Of it's like CBAs now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's no magic number for whatever number of distinctions. You just have to like base it off your own like personal study goals and like study methods and like kind of just like knowing what you want to get in the junior cert and trying to, you know, pick, if you want to put a number on it, like pick a number of hours that like you feel is manageable for you mm-hmm. to do over a sustainable period of time and that will like allow you to achieve your goals.
I'd say it's as well, know yourself and know the results you got in like first and second year exams. And like if they were ones you were happy with, just kind of keep doing the same thing you were doing. I don't think you need to change too much. Maybe add in a little bit here and there. But like if you were doing, maybe you want to get slightly better results in your first and second year exams, then do a little bit more than that. And maybe base it off what you've been doing previously, because it's still exams. At the, I know they're state exams and they're a bit more important, so you should be doing a little bit more. But I think if you've been doing well and okay, keep going with what you're doing. And if you didn't do as well as you maybe like to, step it up.
Mm-hmm. And I think another thing as well is not to compare how much study you're doing to somebody else, maybe in your class.
Absolutely.
Like they might spend, I don't know, like an hour studying for something that you might need 2 hours for, or the other way around. So I think it's very important to, you know, think about what you yourself do need and focus on that more than anything.
Yeah.
The next question then is, how much will you go up from the mocks to the actual Leaving Cert?
65 points.
There you have it, folks.
That's that. No, it's, well, I mean, I guess that depends how well you do in your mocks and how well you do in your Leaving Cert, doesn't it? No, there's no magic number for that at all. Just, I guess, naturally you usually do go up because the mocks are marked harder and you've covered less of the course and all these things. And I don't think there's a number that can be put on that. It's very different between each student and each subject. But I guess there's a, just realize there's a comfort in that, and that the mocks aren't the be-all and end-all, and that there's a security, in the, not a security, but you are likely to maybe hopefully go up a grade at least.
I think most people generally do go up. Like nobody, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone who's gone down from their mocks.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Look at it from the point of view that it's very difficult to do worse. I'd say. Unless like you just stop studying completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll be in a much better place come the actual Leaving Cert.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, you're likely to score better than you would have maybe in the mocks because, as you've said, it's a lot easier. It's expected kind of to not do so well. Because of circumstances that you're in currently. Like, you know, you're not really in a place to be able to do a full state exam when you're in January, February of junior cert or leaving cert.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't worry too much, but
so there you have it. 65 points.
67 points.
Oh, you missed it. You
sorry.
Missed
it. Oh, I had to do it. You said the 65. Okay, I'll leave.
Bye. Okay, guys, next question. Should I take the junior cert mock seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why there was like a pause.
No, you should. Like, I mean, this just links back to all the points we were already saying. Like, it's just practice for yourself. You're in junior cycle. You've never done a state exam before. Like, this is your first, your first kind of crack at it. So, you know, don't go overboard because, you know, you don't really have a reason to, but do what you need. Do your homework, do your study. And yeah, just use this practice for yourself because it's you who is going to thank yourself at the end of the day.
I think that's been answered correctly.
True that.
And the final question we have then is, are mocks harder?
Yeah.
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 I think like the experience is definitely as a whole harder.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe not necessarily the actual paper and the actual questions, but like the context that you're in, like it's definitely harder because of that. So yeah, you're going to go up 10,000 points afterwards.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. 10 million
points.
67,000.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You brought it up.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Well, guys, I thought we left it there. I think we're going to finish it up here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Study Clicks podcast, our first in-person podcast.
Yay.
So as a treat for podcast listeners to celebrate our first podcast, you can use the code podcast10 for €10 off any StudyClicks upgrade.
Yay! Yes. Yippee.
If you found this podcast helpful, it'd be amazing if you could share it with a friend to spread the word and rate and review wherever you're listening and hit the notification button so you're the first to know when a new episode drops.
Do it.
Chat to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.